Mel, I'm serious. You don't have to say it back now. I can wait. I tried to lift her chin, but she ripped her head from my hand. Mel,
I'm not good at love.
She whispered. I know. That's why I was waiting. I rubbed her thighs, not for anything sexual, but so she could feel me and know I was here holding her. She ran her hand through her hair and sighed.
I've been working on it.
I know that too. I've watched as she pulled layers of herself back for me to see day by day. Rising from my lap, she walked over to the window, and I missed her warmth.
I've always been the strong one, Liam. I'm good at being the strong one. I don't want anyone to ever see me as weak, or...
There is not a person alive that doesn't fear you, who thinks you're weak. I whispered, stepping behind her. What's wrong with you?
What if I was pregnant?
She turned to me quickly.
No one sees a pregnant woman and thinks, holy shit, this woman could kill me with her bare hands. All they see is this incubator who stuffs her face and waddles like a penguin.
I couldn't help but laugh. I would say like a duck, but a penguin works. She hit my arm hard and I laughed some more. She always made me truly laugh. Sweetheart, we still have a little while before you're waddling like anything.
Yeah, a little under 7 months.
She frowned, lifting up her shirt for me to see a tiny bump that was almost noticeable. I had seen her naked so many times I could tell. I felt the words leave my throat as my mouth dropped open. My hand went to her stomach before I met her gaze. Each time I tried to form a word, it was lost by the time I opened my mouth again.
You're pregnant,
I whispered.
She nodded. 10 weeks.
My legs gave out under me, and I felt myself on my knees, my head on her stomach. I couldn't hear anything, but I felt so humbled in love and overjoyed. Her hands found their way into my hair again as I kissed her stomach.
I love you too, Liam. I just don't know if I can say it often,
she whispered.
So you're going to have to say it to him or her a lot.
I laughed and nodded. She bent down in front of me and I gripped the sides of her face.
Holy shit, I'm fucking pregnant,
she whispered. Holy shit indeed, I whispered back before taking her lips. Pulling her body to mine, I lifted her up bridal style and walked her over to the bed.
No sex on the piano?
She asked in my arms. I don't want sex. I want to make love to you. Dropping her in the center of the bed, she raised an eyebrow at me.
You are so cheesy, Liam.
Shut up and enjoy it. If I was going to die of something, it was going to be of happiness. She pulled me by my belt onto the bed and hopped onto my waist.
You cannot treat me differently.
The fuck I am. Everything was different now.
Liam, I'm serious.
She glared at me. Sitting up, I grabbed her sides to hold her in place. So am I. You're pregnant.
That doesn't make me handicapped or made out of glass.
She snapped, and I would have to prepare for a few months of it. But that thought only brought a smile to my lips. Melody, if you would let me, I would wrap you in bubble wrap and make sure you were surrounded by at least 4 men on the ground and 2 in the fucking sky.
And I would use the motherfucker's head as target practice. Until I fucking start to waddle, no one is to treat me fucking differently. If they do, I will chain them to the back of your stupid Audi and rip them apart. Pregnant or not, I'm still bloody Melody.
She yelled in my face. There had to be something fucked up with me if I found her threatening to kill people while pregnant sexy. Kissing her, I made sure to leave a mental note of where our argument had left before flipping her onto her back. I could feel her small hands ripping at my clothes, trying her best to pull them off me as I was trying to do with her. Say it again. I whispered, kissing down her chest.
What?
She gasped out in pleasure as I made it to the promised land, the land of milk and honey right between her thighs. Tell me you love me. I kissed her other lips before placing 3 fingers inside of her. She didn't speak as I quickened my fingers in and out of her. She moaned out loudly as I slowed down.
Liam.
Tell me. I whispered, moving so slow she rocked against me in hopes of forcing me to move faster.
I fucking hate you.
And? I asked, smirking. I loved watching her this wild because of me.
That's it.
She smiled and I bit her thigh gently. I wanted to drink all of you. I muttered against her skin. I wanted to make you come with my tongue. Pulling my fingers out, she whimpered. But since you once again want to be difficult, I smiled, releasing my throbbing cock out of my pants. I'm gonna have to fuck it out of you. Before she could respond, I slammed into her and her body jerked off the bed.
Fucking Christ, Liam!
She hissed out in pleasure, locking her legs around me. However, I pulled them apart. This will be all about my pleasure and not about yours if you don't say it, love. I grinned as she fought against me, but I always won this fight.
I fucking hate you!
And?
I kind of love you too, you asshole.
She mumbled, and I would take it. Capturing her lips in mine for only a moment before I sucked her breast, she rocked against me while I stroked within her. Each movement was painfully slow, but I didn't want to rush this. I wanted to ride each wave of pleasure with her. But my wife rarely did what I wanted. Wrapping her legs around me once again, she pulled me even closer to her before flipping me on the bed. Her head rocked back while she rode me and I had to hold on to the headboard. My grip was so tight I was shocked it didn't break. Jesus, Mel. I groaned. I couldn't hold it anymore. Grabbing her waist, I held on, watching through half-closed eyes as she brought me the greatest pleasure. I love you, I cried as I came along with her. She fell on top of me, and my first instinct was to wrap her in my arms. All I could smell was sex, and all I could hear were her deep breaths mixed in with mine. We stayed there, wrapped in each other's arms for what seemed like hours, before she looked up at me. She didn't say anything, just stared. And once again, I wished I could read her mind. What? I asked as she rolled beside me. My hand went to her stomach protectively. The next fucking Callahan, my kid, was less than 7 months away. It made me want to make love to her all over again.
We should have used condoms,
she whispered, placing her hand over mine. Not today. Not fucking ever. I didn't want anything between us. You don't want a child?
Kids are smelly and loud. You never know what they want because they can't talk. Their heads are way too big for their bodies, which means if you drop them, they're going head first. They're like little aliens.
She sighed, and I tried not to smile. She was scared and worried about being a mother, and because she was my Mel, she would never just come out and say it. Only in the beginning.
Yeah, because they transform from aliens into monsters. First little monsters who cry and throw tantrums, then to sex-crazed teenagers who think they're smarter than everyone else. That's going to be the next 18 years, Liam. I'm not like your mom. My patience will run out and I'm going to say or do something.
I kissed her. There were days my ma was even scarier than my father. A lot of days, actually. However, my parents made it work and we turned out fine.
You're a sex-crazed closet smoker who sells dope, crack, and smack for a living, not to mention a murderer.
She rolled her eyes at me before laughing. Like I said, I turned out fine. Honestly, the worst thing was the murder, but that wasn't my fault. People thought they could steal from us, threaten us, and I made sure it wasn't tolerated.
I'm a planner, Liam,
she said, sighing.
I like to know how I'm going to approach things or kill them. This... our kid isn't part of my plan. We have Sage and Amory to deal.
Don't stress, love. I can handle. Before I could finish my statement, she pulled a knife from under the pillow and held it to my throat. Pushing me back, she took a seat on my waist once again.
If you try to put me on the bench, Liam, so help me, I will start cutting body parts off. I may be pregnant, but I'm still bloody motherfucking Melody. I can destroy anyone I want. I'll chalk it up to hormones.
She glared. And I could see the same woman who shot me in the thigh. I felt my dick rise at her words and her position on top of me. Bloody motherfucking Melody, indeed. I snickered, rubbing against her. I watched her eyes glaze over as she let the knife drop to the floor and kissed me. When our phones rang, she pulled away. I felt the need to snap whichever fool thought to call us at 2 a.m.
Speak,
she said into the phone as I kissed her legs.
We will be right there.
No, we'll be right here, my mind begged. Hanging up, Mel jumped out of bed, leaving me hard as a fucking rock.
Amory and Sage burnt down my fucking house,
she snapped angrily as she stomped into the closet. I groaned to myself. Damn them all to hell.
Liam, get your horny fucking ass out of bed and help me kill a bitch,
she yelled. Oh, I was gonna kill them all right.
Melody.
I leaned against the car, watching as the Giovanni Villa burned to the ground. The fire department was trying their best to control the fire, but a deadlier one was burning inside me. Fidel ran up to me.
There was a note on the gate, ma'am.
I saw Liam reach for it, but I snatched it before he could and glared at him. He was not going to treat me differently. I wouldn't have it.
You burn my shit, I burn yours. All is fair in war. Congrats on the baby. Such a happy time for you both. XOXO. A and S.
Liam grabbed the letter, his nose flaring with just as much rage as mine was. I roared into Fidel's face. Find Dr. Anderson now! Liam turned to me, his eyes still hard.
Everything is different now.
I nodded, opened the car door, and took a seat. Everything was different. I was now a bigger target. I was always a target, but now so was my child, the next leader of our empire. And because of that, I was going to have to change. Not into Evelyn or Coraline, but a different type of leader. I was going to have to figure out how to be ruthless and pregnant. Amory and Sage picked the wrong motherfucking family to mess with.
XXVII. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. Al Capone. Liam, what's a 5-letter word for mortality? I asked the man in the hospital cast in front of me. He said nothing, but that had to be due to all the morphine. Smirking, I snapped my fingers and filled in the spaces of the newspaper crossword. That's right. Death, I said to him. It seems even God is mocking you, Commissioner. Ex-Commissioner now, right? People don't like suicidal cops. He just glared as I continued with my game. 7-letter word for ineffective. Don't tell me. Failure. Seriously, this is today's crossword. Can you believe it? It's like they made it about your life. Is that why you're here, Callahan? To kick a man when he's down? I'm not shocked. He hissed out, but I wasn't sure if that was due to the pain or because he was ticked off. I don't kick a man when he's down. I put a bullet in his skull. You should know that. I sighed, placing the paper down. Then kill me already! He yelled, making me want to roll my eyes. Not until you answer a few of my questions. I replied, rising to my feet. I reached over and grabbed his oxygen mask. Taking it off his bruised face, he took a deep breath before it turned into short gasps for air. He reached over for the nurse call button, so I pushed it for him. Once, then twice, and then a few more times for the heck of it. This side of the hospital's been cleared. So, let's chat. I grinned, giving him a few seconds of air before pulling the mask from his face again. Go to hell! He breathed out. My wife is a raging, homicidal, hormonal pregnant woman. I sleep with hell. I sighed, giving him air again. Give me a second to shit bricks of sadness. And I laughed, too, before grabbing the pillow from behind his head and pressing it against his face. I'm not in the mood for a smartass, I snapped at him. When I took the pillow off of his face, he coughed like a dying chain smoker. He held onto my hand as I fed him his air. Let's start with something simple. Why did you jump out of your hotel room? That could kill, you know. He tried to hold onto the air, but I simply ripped it from him. You burned down my house! I wasn't charged, tried, or arrested for anything. I know it was you. You Callahans destroy everything. His voice broke, and again I rolled my eyes. But you warned me, and I should've. You warned me, and so it's my fault they died. That little girl, you sick mother. I told you about her. It was me. Please don't get emotional. That was only my first question. I needed him alive right now. No games. What do you want from me? You've taken everything. He coughed, leaning back on his bed. I want to know everything you have on the Valero. He laughed like a madman, and when he did, I held the pillow to his face again. He struggled until he was too weak to move, and then I let him go. Let's do this again. I held on to his face. Tell me about Amory, Sage, and Vance, or so help me God, I will make you wish you had died. I will make sure you're alive and well and trapped in your own fucking body like a jail cell. Every day I will make sure somebody personally gives me a patch of your skin until you're nothing but an open wound. What do you know? He smiled. They want you dead. Your wife, your child, and every last Callahan. They tried bringing you down the legal way, but I'm a failure, remember? They are just as ruthless as you are. Word on the street is that your wife's personal doctor was tortured and then dismembered. Word on the street. Did you hear that your body collided with it? I wanted to rip the smile from his lips. Doesn't change the fact that they're coming for you, he said. I pulled away, grabbed the morphine drip and replaced the liquid. This is adrenaline. In small doses it blocks out the pain. In large doses it does the opposite. You feel everything. I tapped the bag. You're not going to ride into the afterlife in sweet, painless bliss. You're going to feel it all, and right as your heart gives out, think about how big of an idiot you were to step into my house. The very day Chicago was born, people like me have run it. You thought you were the next somebody who did shit, but all you'll be remembered as is the motherfucker who failed at his marriage, failed at his job, and failed to even kill himself. Grabbing my newspaper, I walked back to the door. This isn't over, Callahan. It doesn't end with me. You won't always be untouchable. You're only human. He yelled at me. All men are touchable, Andrew. Those who touch me simply lose their hands. So, let them come. I'm just beginning. What I've done to you is not even the beginning. A second later, the adrenaline must have kicked in because he shook and screamed like a fish out of water. Much to my ear's enjoyment. Stepping out into the hall, Declan, Neil, Monty and Fidel all stood waiting for me. Declan walked over, handing me a phone as we walked out of the hospital. Hello, sweetheart. I smiled casually into the phone.
You no good motherfucking bitch!
She yelled at me. Sweetheart, we don't want our kid coming out swearing like a sailor. I laughed as Fidel opened the car door for me.
The life form who is fucking with my emotions, draining my energy and stealing half of all my food is in a sack of fluid and can't hear a word I'm saying. You went to see the commissioner without me.
She screeched as I flipped through the files in front of me. Love, you were knocked out cold this morning.
Then use your motherfucking hands and wake me the fuck up. You benched me.
Little did she know I tried to wake her up, but she was no longer in the land of the living then. Love.
You left me here with your mother, who is now calling every motherfucking asshole with a drop of Irish in their veins to the house. I will kill someone, cut off their head, and put it on the dashboard of your car if you do not fix this shit. I'm 11 and a half weeks and barely showing.
Her hormones were going to cost me my life. Or a relative. Mel, sweetheart.
Call me love or sweetheart. One more time, sweetheart, and I will bust your teeth in.
She said sweetly. I got nothing from him. Antonio and Eric told me they caught one of the Valero men, Cross, in Mexico. They should be in the house, and you can handle that when I get back. There was silence on the line, which I prayed meant she was okay.
I hate this,
she whispered into the phone.
I hate how out of control I'm feeling. I feel like a ticking time bomb, Liam. It's pissing me off.
I'm good at defusing bombs, love. I stopped. I could almost feel her rolling her eyes. I get it. One step at a time, and I will try my best to help to not tick you off. Would you like a smoothie?
That ticks me off, she snapped. Since when could you bribe me with treats like a fucking child?
I groaned, pinching the bridge of my nose. So, no smoothie then.
Mango, banana, orange and extra kiwi.
She replied before hanging up, and I fought back a laugh. Take me to the smoothie hut, I told the driver up front. Neither he nor Fidel said a word. But what could they really say? I had a pregnant and dangerous wife waiting for me back home.
Melody. Taking a deep breath, I rolled into a ball on the bed. How are you feeling? Evelyn said, literally sounding like a bird from a Disney movie before taking a seat beside me. I'm tired, hungry, or annoyed every 10 minutes. I spent the first weeks puking in Adriana's bathroom just to hide it from Liam, and now you're treating me like I'm an infant. I'm fine, Evelyn, I said coldly, sitting up.
Cut the bullshit, Mel. I'm serious.
I get that you want to remain boss, but you're also going to be a mother. That supersedes anything else. So, drop the act and speak to me as if I were Liam.
If I spoke to her like I spoke to Liam, I would lose it. I shouldn't be pregnant, Evelyn. I did everything but take my uterus out to not become pregnant, yet here I am. This kid is taking all of my energy and I'm tired all the damn time. I said, leaning against the pillows.
Damn him and his Irish swimmers.
You're still in your first trimester. Fatigue is normal. Give it 3 more weeks and it'll fade.
She smiled, taking my hand into hers.
Mel, you don't understand how happy this has made me. How happy this has made our whole family. I'm gonna be a grandmama.
Yeah, I said with no emotion because I wasn't excited. You don't want a child. I could tell she was trying not to judge me, but I could see the worry in her eyes. I kill people, Evelyn. It's part of the job and I have no regrets about it because I'm good. I'm one of the best there ever was. History will put me right up there with Al Capone and Charles Lucky Luciano. I'll be the second woman on that list next to Xi Kaiping. That's my baby. That's the kid I've been taking care of for the last 7.5 years. I don't know how to take care of that child while taking care of this one.
There, I said it. I took a deep breath as Evelyn processed.
You do know the reason for family, right?
She smiled.
You're good at delegating everything but your power.
That's because power shouldn't be delegated. It's what made me stronger. Why share that? I was already splitting half of it with Liam.
Maybe not. Maybe you could do it all by yourself. The only downside would be losing your mind, Liam's heart, or your child.
I don't know why my hand went to my stomach, but the smirk on her face annoyed me. I had Sage and Amory already aiming for its life.
I don't have to tell you to be yourself, but do use us if needed. Liam realises he needs you, and I doubt he would sidestep you. Do less, but when you do something, make it lasting. Leave a mark. Your men and the rest of the world will see you as you are. Bloody Melody.
She winked at me as Liam walked in. He looked confused and slightly worried. I guess he thought if I was talking to his mother, something had to be wrong.
I will leave you and the Mad Hatter alone for now.
She gave me a small hug, which I didn't return. I am not a hugger. But I patted her on the back.
Darling.
Evelyn hugged him and smirked at the smoothie in his hands.
That's a small cup.
What?
Liam replied, looking at it. Evelyn winked at me before leaving, even though I had no idea what it meant.
Are you all right?
He asked, handing me the smoothie. I rolled my eyes, slurping down the drink. I can't have alcohol, how would you feel? And this is a small cup.
Touché.
He laughed, falling next to me. He had this annoying new habit of rubbing my stomach like it were a fucking crystal ball. It seemed to make him happy, so I didn't say a word. Someone should be excited for this kid. What did the commissioner have to say? I asked, shaking my drink. Stupid fruit kept getting stuck at the bottom.
We ruined his life, we killed his men, we are evil, same old, same old. He sighed. I didn't get anything new out of him.
Please tell me you ended him then. I'm done with the Chicago PD. If not, I could always go back to the hospital myself.
It's done. He died painfully and slowly. Monty stayed behind to make sure.
He kissed my stomach before looking to me. This cross person, how far up the chain is he? The closer the guy was to the boss, the harder it was to make him talk.
Personal guard to Vance's favorite mistress, Hera.
He smirked and took a sip of my smoothie. I glared but said nothing about it. He handed me his tablet as I flipped through some of the files. Have Declan look for this Hera. She has to have a money trail. Being his favorite meant she was paid off well enough to keep her happy.
I already have,
he told me, and I almost wanted to pout. Stupid hormones. I was not a pouter. Why don't you just get me caught up since you're the reason I'm behind? I snapped at him. He was so cocky. I was torn between jumping him and beating his face in.
I killed Patterson. Antonio and Eric have Cross in the basement. Hera hasn't left Vance's side from what Declan could tell, and I wasn't able to get the extra kiwi.
What the fuck do you mean you couldn't get extra kiwi? I yelled, opening the lid to my drink. You can fucking destroy Chicago and make it rain blood, but you can't get fruit in my drink?
I was just joking.
He laughed at me, and I punched him right in his fucking nose.
Fuck! Jesus Christ, Mel!
Jesus Christ wouldn't mess with a pregnant woman, you idiot. He shook his head, wiping off his nose.
One of these motherfucking days.
Careful, Liam. You don't want your child to hear you threatening his mother. He glared at me before smirking. He always smirked or smiled or laughed when I mentioned I was carrying his kid. It was like he was on drugs. Leaving him on the bed, I walked into the closet and grabbed my white heels along with a new dress shirt.
Your breasts are bigger,
Liam said from behind me. I could feel the lust rolling off him in waves. I know, it's how I figured out I was pregnant to begin with. All my bras were custom-made for me and me alone. When they no longer fit correctly, I knew. I had been the same size since I was 16.
I should have noticed,
he whispered, closing the distance between us. Liam, don't. We have to go. I wanted him, but I also wanted to get back to my job, and his dick was the reason I was in this situation. His eyes glazed over when he ripped open the shirt I'd just buttoned. He stared at my breasts for a moment before pulling me into his chest. With one hand he lifted me up, holding my ass.
He's a prisoner. He isn't going anywhere.
Grabbing his hair, I bit his lip. Cork your cock, put me down, and you will live to have sex another day. I have a job to do. Forcing myself out of his arms, I picked a random shirt and walked out. But not before hearing him curse. It was my turn to smirk. Pregnant or not, I ran shit.
Liam. She left me so hard I had to take a quick shower so I wouldn't have to face our men with a hard-on. When I walked down the stairs to the basement, I was met with a crowd of our men waiting for something. In the interrogation room sat one of Valero's men, chained to his chair. However, my wife was nowhere to be found. It took me a total of 11 minutes to take a shower and dress. She should have been here already. He didn't even need for me to ask, rather nodding to the second door in the room, where Eric stood. He opened it upon my gaze. Stepping inside, I found my Mel sitting in front of a severed hand with a rod through its middle finger. Fidel and Neil stood beside her as she just stared at it.
It's Dr. Anderson's hand,
she told me without looking away.
They left another note.
Fidel handed me the letter. We planned to send his whole body, however, we got a little carried away. All we could save was his hand, but that's all a doctor needs, right? So sad he won't help you like he helped your mother when she was pregnant. You're going to need all the help you can get. XOXO A and S. When did this arrive? I hissed to Fidel and Neil. The men at the gate checked it a few minutes before you got here, Neil said. Pinching the bridge of my nose, I took a deep breath. Leave us.
Don't,
she snapped at them, and they froze.
We're done here. I've gotten all that I needed.
She said nothing more before rising from her chair, calmly. She was so calm it was eerie. The moment we stepped out, Declan handed her another smoothie. From Mother, he said quickly. She glared at him, but took it from his hand before walking into the interrogation room. When Fidel walked in, he placed a chair out for her. My mind went straight to the first time I'd ever laid eyes on her. She had changed so much since then, and yet was alike in so many ways. We both had changed. So, this is the Italian bitch who managed to piss off not only Vance, but also Amory and Sage, Cross said. I felt my hand twitch. I wanted to rip his motherfucking tongue out. To make it worse, Mel did nothing. She didn't even speak. She just sucked on that damn straw. What? Do you plan to strike me down with your eyes? Where's that big bad bitch that set fire to the boss's wedding? Or are you just an Irish bitch now? Did Callahan fuck all the fight out of you? He asked her. My eyes were clouding over. I was gonna rip his throat out of his neck. Speak, you bitch! He yelled, fighting against the chains. You think I'll just talk? You think I'm afraid of you? I fucking ran all the prisoners for the Valero. I was the one who cut off your motherfucking doctor's hands. He begged and begged for mercy. He didn't talk until I started cutting. So call the motherfucker who's really in charge, bitch, so we can get this over with. I'm no rat. Before I knew it, I had my gun in my hands. Had she not spoken, I would have gone in there my fucking self.
Monty?
Was all she said, and he came out of the fucking shadows of the room looking like he was a damn ninja with a sword in his hands. What the fuck? Declan, Neil and I all said at the same time. Placing her cup on the ground, Mel stood up as calm as I'd ever seen her.
My father taught me a lot of things growing up.
She began as she circled him.
He had this weird thing for swords. Iron swords, though. He told me I should get martial arts training and shipped me off to Japan, because they knew their swords. I thought I would come back a motherfucking ninja, but I got my ass kicked.
Is there a point to this trip down memory lane, sweetheart? Before he could finish, Mel's sword came down slicing through his wrist. Holy shit. Declan, Neil and I said together once again as we stared at the hand on the ground. They spoke out in shock while I was kind of turned on. My wife was fucking bold, beautiful and deadly. She never failed to amaze me. Cross screamed loudly even though Fidel stuffed something in his mouth.
The point is, I have a sword, motherfucker.
She grinned, only an inch from his face as he huffed and puffed, trying to fight the pain.
You're going to answer my questions, or you lose limbs. That,
she pointed to his bloody hand,
was for your comments before. I'm so in charge, I could be the fucking Energizer Bunny.
He muffled something that sounded like fuck you, and Mel's grin widened.
Do you know why we call people rats?
She asked him, as Antonio walked in with a cage full of the beady-eyed creatures. Mel, with no reservation, grabbed one of them. Note to self, ask doctor about shots for her and the baby.
Because they're self-preservation creatures. They have no honor, no loyalty. It's all about doing what they can to save themselves. In fact...
She grinned as she threw the rat into a small jar.
They will eat anything if it means their survival.
She wouldn't. Neil whispered, I'm done doubting Melody. It's unhealthy to be proven wrong so many times. Declan whispered back. Cross struggled as Antonio fit the jar and the rat on the end of his decapitated wrist. But she wasn't done. Despite her calm appearance, she was seething. Pulling out a lighter, she held it to the jar and the rat ran towards his wrist to get away from the flame. Cross screamed against the sock.
So many limbs, so many rats. You called me a bitch. Twice. Insulted not only my intelligence, but also my abilities, and then killed my doctor. How ticked do you think I am?
She asked him.
First question, and I'll make it easy. What is the Valero's next move?
He only screamed in pain.
Take your time. I can wait for you to stop screaming.
She added, drinking her damn smoothie.
Melody.
He's unconscious,
Fidel informed me, putting his hand to cross his neck. I was surprised he was still alive. He had lasted 2 hours. Sighing, I stood up and rolled my neck. Make sure he doesn't die. Cross had only given bits and pieces of information, most of which didn't make any sense. It had to be the blood loss. However, I would get an answer, and I would put an end to them all.
It's you who should be worried about dying.
Cross spoke in a daze. His eyes were barely open, and he was so pale he could have been mistaken for a corpse. I still have my hands and foot. Who the fuck did this idiot think he was? He smiled and laughed like a madman. Fidel punched the side of his face, but Cross only laughed harder. Before I could speak, the house shook so violently I had to hold on to Antonio for a moment. It took me only a second later to realize what caused it. Liam busted in.
The east wing was just bombed. We need to move.
See y'all in hell, motherfuckers. Tell the boss I said hello.
Cross laughed and passed out. There was another explosion, and the look in Liam's eyes as he pulled out not one but two guns was the deadliest I had ever seen. We were under attack. XXVIII. Any of you fucking pricks move, and I'll execute every motherfucking last one of you. Honey Bunny, Pulp Fiction. Melody. Monty? I hissed through my teeth, and a second later he placed a machine pistol and two extra mags in my hands.
Your orders are to shoot to kill everyone but Amory or Sage.
Liam snapped at him. Fidel and Monty didn't even waste a second before they were out the door. Placing the magazines in the back of my pants, I could feel the bloodlust kicking in. Where's the family?
The safe room, where you should be,
he said to me, grabbing hold of my arm before I could leave. Liam, I don't want to waste bullets, but so help me God, if you think that for a second I'm going to sit behind walls and wait for the storm to settle, I will end you myself. I snapped at him, holding my gun to his nose. His green eyes narrowed.
You're pregnant. Get the fuck behind the wall, Melody.
Fuck you. I glared back before walking out. The moment I did, all I saw was destruction. It was like we were bombed. Lights flickered, wires dangled from the ceiling, and all I could hear was gunfire. Leaning against the wall, I held my gun to my chest as Liam came up right next to me. Done treating me like a bitch and not your wife? I asked, trying to see where the gunfire was coming from.
You better not get hurt or I will kill you myself, love.
Liam kissed my cheek before stepping forward and shooting blindly into the hall. Somehow, he hit the motherfuckers. Stepping out from behind the wall, I glared at him as he smirked. I hate you.
You love me.
He was cut off as I shot into the hall at one asshole hiding behind a broken door. You forgot one. My lips curled up before I turned and ran down the hall. I could feel him right behind me. The moment we reached the east wing, it looked like an all-out war between our men, who used every parts of themselves, including teeth and fists and broken glass, to kill if they were without a weapon. From the corner of my eye, I saw Neil almost rip the arm off a Russian. The air was clogged with the scent of blood, and I was going deaf from all the noise around me. Out of nowhere, a blade sliced up my leg, and the second I looked down, I met the eyes of a fool who thought it was a good idea to cut me with glass. Stomping my heel into his face, I screamed as his blood went everywhere. Wiping my face with the back of my arm, I turned to see Liam all but slit a man's throat. When he looked over again, he wasn't looking at me. I followed his gaze in time to see Amory put a bullet in Eric's forehead. Liam roared so loudly I would have thought it was he who made the house shake.
Amory!
Amory appeared shocked at first, as if he had forgotten whose house he had attacked. But the shock soon gave way to fear as Liam stalked toward him, looking like the devil himself. The moment anyone blocked his path, they were struck down so quickly I didn't even have time to blink. I wanted to watch him rain fire and brimstone on the fool, but I wasn't sure what they knew or how much they were after. There were only a few of them left. I needed to make sure that all our files and information weren't being stolen right from under us. Neil! I yelled, but he was too far gone in his thirst for blood and was busy shooting down the motherfuckers in his way. He looked almost giddy, like he was in some video game and invincible. Glancing back at Liam one last time, I watched as his fist collided with Amory's face before I ran down the hall. The further I went, jumping over rubble and exposed wires, the louder the screams. At first, I wasn't sure what it was. Between the sparks, the smoke, and the flames, I could barely see a few feet in front of me. Peering around a corner, I saw what had been making all the noise.
Let go of me!
It was Olivia yelling as three large men surrounded her like wolves around a sheep.
You're pretty,
one of the men said.
But you would be prettier on my cock.
They all laughed as he grabbed her, and in that second I put a bullet in his head, causing the blood to splatter all over her face. She stood there shaken while the other two men spun around, releasing a hail of bullets. Jumping behind what was left of a broken wall, I yelled out, "You have 2 seconds to run before I put a bullet in your brains!"
"Fuck you, bitch, you're outnumbered,"
one said in a heavy accent.
"Come out like a good bitch and we'll be gentle with you,"
the other said, laughing, while all I could hear was Olivia's scream. She was annoying as fuck. Why couldn't she just have gone to the safe room like a good little damsel in distress? Taking a deep breath, I stood up, slowly, hands up. Guns pointed in my face, the men sneered. The one holding Olivia smiled.
"Drop the gun, sweetheart."
"I warned you," was all I said to him, smirking as Fidel came up behind one. I shot through the hand the motherfucker was holding Olivia with, and when he backed up, I shot him right in the eye. Rushing over to Olivia, as she screamed, I grabbed her bloody arm. Ripping my shirt, I wrapped it quickly and forced her to look me in the eyes. "Why the fuck aren't you in the safe room?"
"Neil,"
she stammered in shock.
"I... Neil..."
Slapping her across the face, I glared into her eyes. "Get your shit together and move, or I will kill you myself. Fidel, get her to safety. She fights, knock her out." He nodded, and I left her in his care before running down the hall. This had to be a distraction. They wanted something. The East Wing was nothing but bedrooms, and if they were smart, they'd have gotten blueprints of the house, which meant they knew what was in the West Wing. Some of our most important documents, cash, and codes were kept in the West Wing. Running up broken stairs, the heat of a bullet seared me as it pierced my shoulder with so much force I landed on my back and rolled down the stairs. A woman of my height, who I remembered seeing at Amory and Sage's wedding, smiled as she looked down at me.
Oops, did I hurt you?
I tried reaching for my gun, but she stomped on my hand.
Do you even know who I am?
She hissed down at me, her gun pointing at my face.
Your people killed my brother!
Sweetheart, we've killed a lot of people. I don't give a fuck about your brother, I said into the barrel of the gun.
You bitch!
She screamed, but I would give her something to scream about. Grabbing onto a nearby electrical wire, I pressed the exposed wires against her leg, turning away as they sparked and shook her as though she was having a seizure. Crawling away from her, I held my shoulder and tried to keep calm. I felt the urge to grab my stomach, but I couldn't. I couldn't stop, and I couldn't allow myself to panic. But even knowing all that, I still found myself rubbing circles over my stomach for a moment before I got back up and headed up the stairs. When I entered the secret room, I found no one there. Pulling up our files, I began to send them to other computers before deleting everything. I heard what sounded like glass cracking and turned around, pointing my gun at the face of the devil's mistress. But the gun slipped from my hand as I glanced down at the blade in my stomach.
I warned you, Sage Valero said, laughing.
It was the last thing I remembered before everything went dark.
Liam. Hold him still, I told Declan and Neil as they brought Amory to his knees in front of me. The fucker thought he could outrun me. The moment I had my hands on him, he knew his life was over and the prick ran. I caught up to him in what was left of my $500,000 garage. Placing my brass knuckles on, I pounded his face. You thought you could come into my house? I yelled as I broke his jaw. You thought you could destroy me? I loved the sound of the bones in his face breaking with only his skin to hold it together. You thought you could burn my fucking house down? I couldn't even see his face through all the blood. You thought you could hurt my family? You reckless! His teeth burst out of his mouth like popped corn. Idiotic! Punch. Motherfucking cunt! Punch. The moment I stopped, the flesh of his nose was kissing his lips and one eye was out of its socket. You! The great piece of shit who no mother could love and no father could even respect. But worst of all, the man who just had to fuck up my motherfucking day! I sighed, wiping my nose before grabbing the chains. I saw this in a movie once, I told him, as Neil and Declan bound his feet and hands to the ends of two different cars. I always wanted to know if the human body would actually rip apart. Amory coughed up more teeth as they bound him.
How's your wife, Liam?
It was only then that something clicked in my mind, and I felt my heart drop into my stomach. However, I couldn't let it play on my face. Instead, I nodded to the two drivers and they began to drive away from each other as Amory's body rose from the ground and his screams increased. I'll be sure to mail this to your father, I told him, nodding once more at the drivers and watched as they pushed it to full speed. I reveled in the sound of his cries as his body ripped open. But looking up, his words still haunted me. Where the fuck is my wife? I yelled over the roars of the engines, and as I did, Olivia rushed in covered in blood. Neil didn't even waste a moment rushing to her side, but she just pushed out of her arm and ran to me.
Melody, she saved me, but...
She stammered and stopped speaking the moment she saw the two halves of Amory's body. Olivia! I yelled, grabbing her arms. Where is my wife? Shaking, her eyes went wide.
She left me with Fidel and he put me in one of the safe rooms. But I saw on camera, Sage, some room full of computers. Everything was... Melody didn't see her. She... Sage.
I never thought I would raise a hand to any woman in my family, but in that moment I slapped her so hard she fell to the ground. Neil stepped forward, but Declan held him back. Olivia, one last time, where is my wife?
Sage stabbed her in the stomach. Then Patrick came and helped Sage escape with some documents. Cedric is with Melody now.
She sobbed. I never ran so fast in my life. I felt as though I was possessed. I couldn't see anything. I couldn't hear. And by God, I didn't want to feel anything. The only room Melody would go to would be in the West Wing. She would have tried to protect our files. Files they could have gotten with Patrick. I trusted him.
I brought him into this family and he fucked me over. He had balls, but not for long. I stopped when my fate could take me no further, and stared at the river of blood that led to my wife's body. My father hovered above her, his shirt off and wrapped around her body. Your mother has called an ambulance. I've stopped the bleeding for now, but... Falling to my knees, I wasn't sure what to do. She looked so pale, so sick and so different from the woman I saw only a few hours ago. Liam! My father snapped at me, trying to pull me from my despair. Your wife will live. Right now you need to stay calm. Do you understand me? All I could do was nod as though I was a fucking bobblehead. Patrick Dara. Patrick betrayed us. Son, you've done your duty. The house is secure. Take care of your wife. He said, and I felt the pressure building up at the back of my throat. I wanted to hold her, but I couldn't, not without possibly causing any more damage. Kissing her forehead, nose and lips. It took all my willpower to back away as the paramedics came in.
Melody. Everything hurt. Everything was darkness. But in that darkness, one voice rang out louder and stronger than the rest.
Mel. My Mel. I'm right here.
He sounded so sad. Liam, was all I could say before I drifted back into the darkness.
Liam.
Mr. Callahan, don't worry. We have the best doctors operating on your wife. If there is anything, and I mean anything...
Grabbing her by the neck, I slammed her body against the wall. Are you flirting with me, Dr. Lewis? Her eyes widened in fear as she tried her best to pull my hand away from her very narrow throat. I only squeezed tighter. Are you flirting with me while some idiot is sewing my wife back together? Tell me you aren't, so I don't have to rip your head from your shoulders, you classless, low-life, idiotic bitch.
Please.
She cried, kicking her feet wildly.
Liam, we are in public.
My mother whispered behind me. So, who are you going to call? I turned to the rest of the hospital staff. I own this motherfucking hospital and I own this fucking city. If you didn't know it before, you know it now. Turning to the bitch as she turned blue, I glared into her eyes. Never come near me again or I swear on the head of your mother and father, I will kill you. Dropping her on the ground, I took my seat again and pulled out a cigarette. My father handed me a lighter while my mother frowned. It was the only thing that could calm me down now. Neil held on to Olivia for dear life. Declan kept staring at Coraline as if she could disappear at any moment. I knew they were still fighting or whatever the fuck they were doing, but they would be fine. Despite the fact that she wasn't looking at him, she did allow him to hold her hand. The only ones who truly seemed calm were my parents, but I knew it was simply due to the fact that they had done this before. It wasn't the first time we had lost a child because of the bolero, but it would be the last. I would make sure of it. I did my best not to think about it, but it left a burn in my chest and made my blood boil. The moment the surgeon came out, we were all on our feet. Don't waste words, how is she? Mr. Callahan, your wife is fine and now in her room. We did everything we could for the child, but... Turning away from him, I nodded at Declan and Neil, who already knew no one but the family and her doctors were to enter that room. Thank you, Doctor.
Blake, sir, Dr. Nicholas Blake, he said quickly, shaking my hand.
I tried to leave, but my mother held on to me.
Everyone go! We need a moment!
She said it in such a way that none of us could even bring ourselves to argue. I had never heard so much anger roll off her tongue. She and my father shared a quick glance before she pulled me off to the side.
Mother, whatever it... Right now! This very moment will define you and your marriage forever!
She said. In her eyes, all I saw was pain.
The wife you once knew is not going to be the same woman you see when you walk into that room. Imagine the Melody. The boss is simply asleep and how you react will define how long she remains so. She needs to mourn.
She doesn't know my wife. She didn't even shed a tear after her father died. Mel isn't the crying type. My mother slapped the back of my head, something only she could do.
You're not listening to me. Your wife was attacked. Her child was stolen from her. She isn't the same type, you remember. At least not now. You have two choices. Pull away, or hold on to her even when her words and actions hurt you. Because they will. Believe me, they will.
Do not make the same mistakes your father and I made.
You came through it, I whispered. Here they were, so many years later, still in love as ever. She smiled, but it didn't make her eyes shine like usual.
I asked for a divorce. I had the papers drawn up and even called my cousin in Canada. Your father agreed. Had you not gone to the hospital, we wouldn't have made it. He couldn't handle my mood swings or all the names I called him. I couldn't stop myself from blaming him. We made it. But we made it through the hard way. So, this son is your defining hour. And how you react now will either make or break your future. Whatever pain and anger you're holding on to, let it go before you see her. Or you may just lose her.
She kissed me on the cheek before leaving me standing there, unable to even speak. I couldn't breathe. Walking into a nearby supply room, I let the tears fall for a child I would never get to meet, who I would never know, and I tried not to let myself grow angry with her. What was fucked up was the fact that my anger at Mel overshadowed my anger at Sage. I told her not to go. I told her to get in the fucking safe room, but she didn't listen. She never listened. Slapping my cheeks, I took a deep breath before walking back out again. No one made eye contact with me until I stood right outside her door. Neil and Declan were smart enough to look away. It felt like hours before I found the will to walk in. And to my surprise, Mel was sitting up. She looked so dazed, like she had gone to war and come back, but nothing was the same as it once was. Evelyn kissed her forehead while Coraline gave her a small hug. Olivia stayed back. She stood next to Cedric with her head hung low as if she were some servant, and the sight of it pissed me off. Out, was all I had to say before they left, and it was in that moment that I knew my mother was right. Never in all our months together had I ever seen Mel jump at my voice. Taking a seat beside her, she shook her head at me as she fought the tears building in her eyes.
Say it,
she whispered.
Say what?
Anything she wanted me to say, I would say.
Say it was my fault. Say I killed our child. Say it was for the greater good, because I would have been a horrible mother anyway.
Anything but that. Taking off my jacket, I laid next to her, pulling her into my arms. This was not your fault, and you did not kill our child. You would and will be a great mother, I whispered, kissing her forehead.
Then why do I feel this way?
She held on to my shirt as she fought back her sobs. I couldn't answer, mostly because I couldn't think of what to say. I felt so guilty for thinking this was her fault just moments ago. This was Sage. This was the Valero, and they would pay dearly. After Mel had gone to sleep, I let go of her and stepped into the hallway. Neil, Declan, Monty, Fidel, and my father all stood waiting. I didn't trust any of them. That's what Patrick had done. He had broken the band of trust that we kept in our innermost circles. How did this happen? Patrick was the one who found the lead on Cross, the man Melody was interrogating, Declan stated. He had a CS5 jammer implanted inside of him. With that, it blocked half our defence codes and sensors. From there, Patrick opened the gate from the inside. He's been working for them for months. We have no idea why he betrayed us. All they needed was a person willing to die, and Cross was that person. With the botched surgery he had to get the jammer inside of him, he didn't have that long anyway. It was simple. Getting into our home should never be simple, I said, pinching the bridge of my nose. I want him found, and I want to know how no one else knew. Then I want you to call every Irish or Italian man in the damn country able to build our house. We aren't moving. Liam, we can stay in the summer house. We're not moving, I yelled, breathing through my nose before taking a step back. I will not be chased out of my home like a poverty-stricken street rat. There's plenty of house left. Pick a room and deal with it, father. He raised an eyebrow at me, grinning, before he nodded. As for Vance and Sage, take photos of Amory's body and send it to him. When you're done, throw Amory's body anywhere you fucking please. Ship him to the moon for all I fucking care. Just make sure Vance knows those pictures are all he'll ever have left of his son. Part of me wished I hadn't killed Amory outright and used him for some leverage to bring down his father.
When are we hitting back, boss? Fidel asked me, and I do believe that was the first time he ever called me boss. We start now. I glared over to them all. Declan, gather every motherfucking hacker and suck him dry. Anything you can do to destroy, do it. The rest of you, your orders are the same. Shoot to kill. I don't care if they're in the street or in their damn beds. We're ending this if I have to bomb all of Russia to do it.
XXIX. The family that mourns together survives forever. J.J. McAvoy. Cedric. It was deja vu. No father ever wanted to watch his son suffer as he had. Our sons and daughters were supposed to move forward, make new mistakes, forge new paths and conquer new mountains. Yet Liam was fighting my battle. I should have killed off Vance years ago. I should have prevented all this. But I failed. Allowing the smoke to fill my lungs, I stared up at the sky.
Cedric?
Jumping at the sound of my wife's voice, I looked back to find her glaring at the joint in my hands. Sorry, I whispered, preparing to throw it out, but she simply took it from my hands and took a long drag. Smirking, she handed it back to me.
Only tonight. After today, it won't be allowed.
This reminds me of college. Smoking on the roof after a long, hard day of sex. There was some studying every once in a while also, but still.
I was pregnant, remember? I couldn't smoke.
All right. I laughed as she hit me. But I just held on to her.
Will they be okay? Can they get through this?
She whispered. I don't know. It's only the first day.
Coraline. I really didn't know how I got to the maternity ward. I was simply walking, and the next thing I knew there were babies as far as the eye could see. They were all enchanting and peaceful. Looking at them almost made me forget that the world sometimes sucked.
They are cute, aren't they?
Declan whispered next to me. Shouldn't you be guarding Mel? He smiled.
Neil, Fidel, and Monty are all stand and watch.
I said nothing, and he looked at the babies.
I keep trying to wonder what ours will look like. Liam was so happy. He was kind of high all the time.
Again, I said nothing.
Cora.
What, Declan?
I snapped.
You want me to give you the time of day because you sat outside my door and played music? But you wouldn't give me the time of day even after I let you fuck me any way you pleased.
He took my hand and kissed it before taking a step back, not speaking any longer. When I looked through the glass, a few of the babies were crying. See what you did.
Declan. I couldn't help but smile at her. Even now she cursed me out, as she should have. I couldn't help but smile. She had killed someone. She was in the East Wing when the bombs went off and she fought her way to the safe room.
A knife right in the motherfucker's throat.
If I didn't know better, I would say that I was falling in love with her all over again. But the truth was, I had never stopped loving her. I never could. I could wait her out. I could take every jab, as long as I got her in the end.
Olivia. Staring at my phone, I read Neil's text message over again. It was all that was keeping me together right now.
I love you, and the moment I can, I'll be at your side. I'm so sorry I wasn't before.
I tried to breathe. I tried to think. But all I could feel were the hands of those men. I almost fell out of my seat when Adriana took a seat beside me.
You were raped once, weren't you?
She asked me. And I did, in fact, stop breathing. What? Why would you say?
Don't insult me by lying.
She smiled sadly.
I know what a rape victim looks like. And I also know what it feels like when Melody saves you from it. She takes you and she makes you unstoppable. She gives you your power back. She brings you back to life. So the next time a guy thinks he can ever lay a hand on you, you can show him what it feels like to piss off God himself.
With that, she left me wondering who her Harvey was and what she had done to him. XXX.
I want to see your face when I kill you.
I want to see the light leave your eyes. Voldemort. Harry Potter in the Goblet of Fire film. J.K. Rowling.